and welcome back to the Elite Takeover podcast, where today we will be looking at the 26th of October edition of Monday Night Raw. But before we get started, let's go through all the plugs. I am your host. My name is Aiden, and I am joined by
Raff Raff.
Raff Raff, the doggo. Yes, of course, you can find our podcast available on all major podcast apps. Give us a download, a subscribe, give us a 5-star review. It would all be absolutely amazing. And of course, we're also on YouTube at The Elite Takeover, where you can watch the video version of this instead, where if you give us a like, comments, let us know what you thought of Raw tonight. It would also be amazing, help the growth of this podcast. Find us on Twitter over at Elite Takeover YT and over Instagram at The Elite Takeover. But let's get started on tonight's Raw. Pretty much not much happened on tonight's Raw, to be honest, but we are starting the build to Survivor Series, but nothing particularly substantial going on tonight. But let's go and get started. We start off with the former WWE champion coming down to the ring, Mr. Drew McIntyre. Pretty much comes down saying that he will be the champion again. It's basically the whole point of his promo is that he's going to be champion, and sure, he may be acting all happy and all that kind of stuff, but inside his mind is going absolutely crazy, but he will be the champion again. He doesn't care what it takes. The Miz interrupts this promo at this point and kind of compares Otis and Drew McIntyre, calling them both losers, because obviously Miz is now Mr. Money in the Bank. Kind of hints towards repeating what happened 10 years ago, because obviously Miz cashed in on Orton 10 years ago, and playing with this kind of stuff. Drew gets fed up. Drew gets absolutely fed up with this. Hits him with a Glasgow kiss. Morrison tries to calm Drew McIntyre down by doing a little Scottish accent for him. That was kind
Drew
of Welsh.
Drew keeps going like, you better be careful what you say next.
Yeah. And then Drew just beats him the hell up. Miz manages to save Morrison by hitting Drew in the knee, which is kind of the story that he still has an injured knee from Hell in a Cell. But Miz and Morrison escape, but McIntyre grabs their sunglasses, smashes them under his feet, and tells them it's going to be a bad night for them. Setting up later in the night, we're going to be having Drew McIntyre versus Mr. Money in the Bank, The Miz. What did you think of this opening promo here tonight?
It was good. It was fun. It was really fun. Like the way that Drew was still like obviously very upset and everything, but he was still like going with the like promo and with what Miz and Morrison were saying, like the way he was kind of like playing with them, being like, you better be careful what you say next, or just like being upset at them. But it was worth it. Like, it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a fun thing. Drew still feels like a big deal, which
yes,
is nice.
Exactly.
They haven't completely pushed him down the card after losing to Randy, which obviously I didn't think it was going to happen, but it was a slight worry they could have done it. But they still
The little like hint that The Miz gave to Drew McIntyre, being like, oh, is it going to be another 12 years until you get another shot at the title?
Yes.
And it was just like, ooh.
Yeah. But that sets up about McIntyre versus Miz later in the night. Yeah. And then at this point, we get the announcement. It's only going to be Raw versus SmackDown this year for Survivor Series. What do you think about no NXT this year?
It makes me sad. It was so good. Yesterday?
Nice. Yesterday.
It was so good last year. I really think that NXT should be involved.
I could do without the 15-man tags.
Yes.
But I think having the triple threat for the championship for the triple threats were really good. Because they had the AJ, Roddy and Nakamura one last year. I think it was those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. It was definitely Roddy and Styles. I'm pretty sure it was Nakamura, which was really good.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that. The women's match was good. It wasn't necessarily amazing, but it was still good.
It was good, yeah. Yeah.
But there was some really fun stuff with that last year. And it would kind of be a shame not to have that again.
Yeah.
So they kind of still had... So in most of the promo stuff, they just had the red and blue. But occasionally in some of them, like they had a Survivor Series, they still have the promo stuff from last year where they have the yellow bit in the middle.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this means that NXT is going to get involved at some point. I'm not holding a hope, because obviously like with what the pandemic and everything, they need to separate their bubbles. They're in different places completely. It's a lot of people to bring in if they're going to do the big 15-man Survivor Series teams. That's big.
Yeah.
Like if you just have the champions in, maybe, but even so, that's still crossover, and I don't know if they'd want it.
Yeah.
But it is weird they still have the yellow there. I don't know whether that's just a lack of thinking. Maybe it was in the plans, but they now changed it last minute. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe NXT will invade again like last year, but I feel like it will just stay Raw and SmackDown, but I would appreciate it. Especially since a lot of these matches are rematches.
Yeah.
Like, especially like Banks and Asuka. Like, it'd be great. I'm not going to complain about seeing Banks and Asuka.
No, but we've just seen it.
And who wouldn't want to see Banks versus Asuka versus Shirai?
Oh, yes.
And obviously Finn Balor is injured currently, but if he was back in time for Survivor Series, putting Finn Balor in there with Orton and Reigns, yes, that would really make that match so more interesting than just Orton versus Reigns. Yeah. But obviously, we'll see later in the night, but there is a slight chance that Orton may not be in this position by the time we get to Survivor Series. It'll be surprising, but there is a possibility. But let's move on to the next match. So throughout the night, we did have a set of qualifying matches for the men's Survivor Series teams. Mm-hmm. On a side note, I have no idea how they're going to get 5 tag teams from both shows. The 5-on-5 tag team. Yes. I don't know how they're going to... They don't have that many tag teams.
No.
Maybe that's why they put Bryan and Owens together so they can have them in that. But surely they'd be better in the men's Survivor Series match. But anyway, so we start off with our first one. Now we have Hardy and Styles. Mm-hmm. Styles comes out, cuts a promo, saying that he is 2-0. I am dominating Monday Night Raw since I've been there for 2 weeks and I'm already 2-0. He doesn't want a qualifying match. He just wants to be the captain.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand why he has to prove himself. He already has. And he starts to mention his associate, as he calls him. Mm-hmm. He never called him by his name, just his associate. And he says his associate doesn't like to be looked at. He doesn't like to be talked to. So don't do it otherwise.
That's what he says. He goes, be warned.
Yeah, be warned. Or he'll make... And then he brings it back to Hardy and says his associate will make Hardy wish they'd never put down the bottle. And as always, Jeff Hardy just comes out doing his regular entrance.
Yeah, not caring.
He doesn't care when people call out on his alcoholism anymore. To be fair, it has been going on for about 6 months now.
Yeah.
With no one particularly caring.
Move on.
But yeah, it's nice to see Styles doing good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, there's another reason why it doesn't really make sense why they've taken the title off Drew. Because there's a lot of heels on Raw. There's a lot of heels in stronger places than baby faces.
Yeah, true.
So on the babyface side, you have Keith Lee, who's kind of been pushed down the card quite a bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel as big as he did when he came in.
No.
You have Riddle, but Riddle's kind of been mid-card. Jeff Hardy. No, I don't want to see Jeff Hardy in the main event of a pay-per-view. Then you have Drew, but Drew's obviously been all up in this. The New Day, but the New Day are tag team champions.
Yeah, exactly.
And then obviously The Fiend, but The Fiend is... The Fiend's not really got any character alignment to him, I would say. No. But The Fiend is The Fiend.
The Fiend's The Fiend. He's a whole league by himself.
Yeah. Match starts off with AJ starting on top, but Hardy starts to outspeed him. But similarly as last week, the big guy Jordan, he gets involved. He catches Jeff Hardy when he tries to dive on AJ.
Yeah.
We go to an advert break. We come back into it. Hardy's trying to get himself back into the match. AJ hits this cool rack bomb, I think they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Where he had Jeff on his shoulders, spanning around kind of like an F5, and then planted him. It was really nice.
Yeah.
It looked really, really cool. Something I hadn't seen AJ do before, but it looked awesome. Hardy's about to win. He's very close to winning the match, about to hit the Swanton bomb. But Jeff gets spookled by by Jordan. He's like, I'm scared. I can't jump on AJ. He's distracted me, which allows JJ to get up, knock Hardy off the top rope. Hardy attempts to go for a twist of fate after this on the apron, but Styles reverses, pushes Hardy into the apron, into the ring post, throws him in the ring. Phenomenal forearm. 1, 2, 3. This match kind of felt like they were working in jelly.
Yeah, it was really slow-mo the whole time. Even the movements, they're all meant to be quicker and everything, just felt really... Yeah.
I don't know if Hardy's carrying an injury at the moment.
Because
he's limping a lot.
A lot.
They did say
that he had a hidden knee brace.
Well, he's had a knee brace on since the AJ feud in the summer. And so since June probably he's had a knee brace on.
Yeah, but
his limping's bad.
He's really bad.
This was really slow. It's not what you'd expect from a Styles match particularly.
No.
And not what you'd expect from these two together. Yeah, and not from Jeff either. It was fine. It just wasn't there. It was just slow. And then post-match, Elias comes back to go and get his receipt, hitting Hardy with the guitar. Guess what's going to happen later? I'll leave it at that. We go backstage and we catch up with R-Truth. R-Truth is asked about, obviously, Hell in the Cell in the pre-show. He defended his 24-7 championship up against Drew Gulak. And post-match, and obviously, he had the gang of 24-7 dudes came out to go after his title. And he's like, yeah, he's going to be there. They're having a tag team match tonight. He's going to be there. He's going to watch. He doesn't care that it's dangerous. He eats dangerously. He looks dangerously. His middle name is R-Truth something, something dangerously, something, something, something. It was very silly. Yeah. It was very silly. Nonsense R-Truth stuff.
I like R-Truth promos. They're always fun.
Yeah, they're silly. They're silly, harmless fun.
Yeah.
I miss like the days of like, I know it's difficult now with the pandemic and everything, but I miss the days of like Truth and Maverick, Truth and
yes, and you had like a big. I was just about to say that, like before you had like a big mass of people just running after him.
Yeah, now it's just four other dudes. And that's it.
It's understandable, but I miss it.
No, it doesn't. But it's not. It's just nothing now.
Yeah.
And so I'll be surprised if it lasts another year, to be honest. I'm surprised it's lasted this long, to be honest.
I know. Yeah.
But yeah, we get to the match. It's not really a match.
Yeah.
For some reason.
You called it straight away.
Oh, yeah. It was very obvious.
Yeah.
And they start off, Gulak and Cesaro were kind of on top early on. Lince Dorado hits a nice cutter onto Gulak, I think it was. I'm not sure. I think it was Gulak. Yeah, it was Gulak because they were the guys at the end. It was a really nice cut to move on Gulak. Truth comes out to come and watch the match, at which point everyone gets very distracted and tries to pin R-Truth because obviously they won 24-7 championship. For some reason, despite the fact that Truth starts beating up on people, this doesn't become a DQ.
No.
The ref doesn't throw this match out. And the match ends with Lince Dorado hitting a big drop kick, I think it was, trying to hit R-Truth, hits Drew Gulak, and he just pins Drew Gulak for the win in this match. R-Truth has levels up, though. R-Truth.
Yes.
He was hit by proper moves. It wasn't just roll-ups.
Yeah.
And he managed to kick out of everything. R-Truth, still your 24-7 champion tonight. Wowzers. What a segment. I'm so glad that was there tonight. But of course, next up, we did go to the Firefly Funhouse, the first of these segments tonight, and it is the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. We've gone all Alice in Wonderland today. It's very cute. We get the first proper appearance of Alexa. Obviously, she was there last week, but this is the first true appearance of her fully in the funhouse.
Yes.
We get Bray dressed all up as the Mad Hatter, wearing the hat and everything. He looked
blue
great.
Blue contacts. Like yeah, really, really nice, bright.
Really bright blue contacts.
Blue contacts, so nice.
I didn't know that there was such a thing about the Mad Hatter having blue contacts, but apparently there must be.
Yeah.
Alexa comes out, obviously dressed as Alice.
Yes, of course.
Coming late to the party. She brings in some special tea.
Yes, really lovely tea.
But she gives rambling rabbit.
Of course she does.
And she goes through all the ingredients, all the lovely ingredients that are in there. But then there's one special ingredient in there.
What is it? What is it, Alexa?
Arsenic. And then we come back and you see him, his guts all over the table, essentially, because he's thrown them up.
It was actually really
gross. It was a really good effect.
It's really gross.
Yes. If you look closely, you can see, because now she has her own fiend gloves.
Yes.
Which now say, instead of hurt and heal, they're white and they're play and pain.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice stuff indeed.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this now just because I find it exciting. We only heard the briefest bit. I want to hear more of it. But they had like distorted version of Alexa's theme later.
And it sounds really cool.
It sounded really cool. I want to hear more of it.
Yeah.
I think it should work really well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will do in the future. But I want to hear more of it now.
Yes.
Alexa talks about the fiend. They talk about the fiend and the fact that he's all around them and he heals them.
Yeah.
Bray brings his heel glove over to Alexa's head. She puts her head down for a second, opens her eyes, and she has these bright white contact lenses.
White with like a red outline.
Yeah, very creepy. Alexa mentions that she has Randy Orton on a moment of bliss later tonight.
Yeah, she kind of like comes back straight away from it. And
she holds for it. She goes for a second, then she's straight back to normal.
Yeah.
And then we go back. We see Bray and we hear the fire and the screaming around him with the picture of the the burning house in the background. Yes. Obviously, due to like the feud from years ago where Randy Orton set his house on fire and became a member of the Wyatt family and then betrayed the Wyatt family because Randy Orton is a meanie.
Yes.
And then, of course, we had one of the worst WrestleMania title matches of all time where Bray Wyatt put pictures of worms on the ring.
Ugh.
You haven't seen this match, have you?
No.
We should watch it before. Ugh. We should watch this match before we get to this actual feud because it'd be entertaining.
Yeah.
It'd be very entertaining. Ew. Yeah, when Bray lost. Obviously, you've seen the House of Horrors, though. I showed
yes,
you that.
Yes, 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 yes.
But you need to see the WrestleMania cool. match. Yeah. The rabbit comes back to life. Romney Rock comes back to life. Bray gets the stick that Randy Orton used to get rid of the soul of Sister Abigail and starts smashing Rambling Rabbit over the head. We get some really psychedelic lighting.
Yeah.
It all goes very strange and weird. It's all very creepy. It's very Alice in Wonderland. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Very psychedelic. And then we come back and he says he looks forward to seeing Orton. It'll be fire.
See you next week.
Haha, you get it.
And they're just like really happy and everything. And
yeah,
just if but
they work together really well.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I was. It took me a minute to get used to the styling of Alexa in there because it does change the way it works.
And because also they had the table inside, made everything look very small.
Yeah, it was very cramped.
It looked like it didn't have that much space.
Yeah,
but by the end, I felt like. They do work really well together.
Yeah, by the end of the night, I was really excited.
And what we see at the end, what we see at the end of the night is really cool.
Yeah, Alexa's doing a very good job. We see Keith Lee backstage before his qualifying match. He's asked about how he'll bounce back after his loss to Strowman last week, after Strowman hit him in the balls.
Mm.
And Lee kind of essentially just says that Strowman couldn't beat him clean, so he cheated. Next time he faces Strowman, he'll show him who the real monster is.
Yeah.
Guess who else is going to be on the Survivor Series team? Braun Strowman. They're so going to have issues. That's going to happen. They're going to have issues.
I imagine.
I don't know who the other one's going to be, but it's definitely going to be Strowman.
Yeah.
And I guess it depends what they're doing with Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe put Miz in there. They could chuck Miz on the Survivor Series match. I'm not sure, to be honest. But yeah, unless they do like everyone who's being eliminated gets another shot. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see Matt Riddle.
And then then Matt Riddle will probably get back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle loses, unfortunately. I think Sheamus probably deserves to get that position.
Yeah.
We see Adam Pearce. He's with Shayna and Nia. Nia saying that she is the captain of the Raw Women's Survivor Series match team. She gives Adam Pearce a list of people she wants on the team before they have consideration. It's quite a small one.
It's like an A5.
Yeah, it's like a little notebook page.
Yeah.
And then Shayna goes, I think you'll find I'm the captain, and gets out her big A4 list of people, gives that to Adam Pearce, and then... and then they say that on Shayna's list. Nia wasn't on Shayna's list, of course.
Yeah, Nia kind of like pulled the note from Shayna.
Yeah, and sees that she's not on it.
She's like, I'm not even on your list. And then at the end, Shayna turns to Nia and she's like, was I on your list?
She's like, of
course
not. And Nia
goes like, no. So yeah.
Yeah, they're funny together, these two. But Adam Pearce announces that we'll find out the Women's Survivor Series team by the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Fine stuff. Nia and Shayna are very entertaining together.
Yeah, they
there
are.
Isn't really much for a women's division on Raw at the moment, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of gone.
Yeah.
We get into Elias and Keith Lee. We start off with Elias doing a little promo, mainly just advertising for his album, his 4-track album that is number one on the soundtrack chart, not the general chart.
Yeah.
It makes such a big deal out of it on the soundtrack chart. And the thing that was number one was Hamilton, which has probably been number one on the soundtrack chart.
Since it came out,
yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long, long, long time. So it's not necessarily the biggest thing there for Elias, but good on you, Elias. I'm proud of you for your four covers that you did. Amazing Grace and all that. He's about to sing, and then Keith Lee immediately interrupts him, doesn't let him sing. Sadly, we don't have the new music yet. I know they were recording new music for Keith Lee, but it hasn't been done just yet. Clearly, they're still on the way to doing it. So Lee still has his rubbish generic music. Yeah. This is a pretty simple match, to be honest. Nothing particularly special happens. Mainly just Lee being the big man, being on top in the match. Mm-hmm. Elias managed to get a big knee at one point, which was kind of like a V-trigger knee onto Keith Lee.
Yeah.
And then kind of takes him to the outside to try and do damage to him. He's working on him a bit more, but then Matt Hardy. Oh, we've gone to AEW. Wow. I talked about Kenny Omega, that's why.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy's music played, allowing the distraction for Keith Lee to grab Elias off the top rope, and then he hits the spirit bomb on him. 1, 2, 3. And guess what? Elias gets his receipt. Hardy comes out, hits him with a guitar.
Two guitars wasted on an episode of Raw.
On an episode of SmackDown, apparently, according to Raph. Yeah, whatever. I don't care about this Elias Hardy feud. I don't see the point in this.
No.
It's not like they're going to be on Survivor Series, so no, who cares? Exactly.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to become a tag team. Jeff Hardy and Elias, the tag team.
Can you imagine?
We go backstage and we see Hurt Business. They are just casually bullying a guy because he wants to use the toilet.
And they say it's their toilet.
It's our toilet. You can't use our bathroom.
Have you even asked us if you could use our toilet?
And then they chase him off.
Our bathroom, sorry, we're
it's very confusing. Yes, it's very confusing because because of the retribution stuff. They're both such heels.
Yeah.
And they keep doing stuff to make Hurt Business more heely.
Yeah.
And yeah, heel versus heel is just like all of Survivor Series is, because most of the champions are heels.
Yes, they are.
We have none of the match of the babyface versus heel. They're all either babyface versus babyface or heel versus heel at the moment. It's weird. Randy Orton is backstage doing a promo. He says that he isn't worried about The Fiend. He isn't scared about the big dog, The Fiend, or Drew McIntyre. Walks off. He literally repeats. It's really odd because he literally repeats this promo later in the night.
Yeah.
It's very strange. I don't know why they did that, but he literally does the same promo later, just only mentioning The Fiend. It's odd.
Yeah.
But we have Hurt Business versus Retribution. Hurt Business come out and do a little promo first. They announced that they're going to be doing the US versus IC title match, which obviously would be, at the moment being, mm-hmm. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. It could change. And commentary goes, oh yeah, we're going to see a return of Bobby Lashley's sisters.
Yes.
I can't believe they referenced Lashley's sisters. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that was Sami Zayn and Lashley. my goodness.
Funny.
Hurt Business saying that everyone else ran away from Retribution. Oh, I should say, beforehand, they did do a really good video package.
Didn't you see it?
The Hurt Business Retribution one.
Oh, yeah.
They did a really good video package for this match. Pretending that Hurt Business and Retribution hadn't fought each other before.
Yes.
And this was supposed to be the match of Survivor Series, Hell in the Cell. It's very strange. Yeah. Very odd. This is an elimination match. Hurt Business saying that everyone else ran off, but Hurt Business didn't run. They don't see Retribution as a threat. They see them as opportunity. A nuisance?
They're very annoying, they are on their way.
Yeah, I don't remember them saying that specifically, but yeah. But they made a deal with upper management in WWE to get rid of Retribution, and they'll be looking to collect payment once they finally got rid of Retribution, and they'll be looking for gold. Retribution comes out, and they start off with T-Bar and Lashley starting things off. Lashley, whenever Lashley was in this match, he just dominated because that's what Lashley does.
Yeah.
MVP ends up in the ring, and he ends up getting worked over by Mace, and then Slapjack. They kind of work over MVP quite a bit at that point. Reckoning gets up on the ring apron and starts to have a complete mental breakdown, it appears. She starts scratching herself and saying that she has something on her, she needs to get off her. She gets in the ring and starts rolling around on the floor, having a fit. And Slapjack rolls up MVP to get the first elimination of the match. And then we go to break, but when we come back, we find out she was absolutely faking it.
Ha ha ha.
Probably not the best idea to go and fake someone having a mental breakdown in the middle of the ring.
Or like a stroke or something.
It's not a stroke.
But whatever she was faking, it's not nice.
Well, no, it was someone having a psychotic episode, essentially.
Yeah.
We come back. Lashley hits the big spear onto Slapjack, pins him, gets rid of him. Then for some reason, T-Bar and Lashley, they just go and fight and fight into the crowd and disappear. And they get double counted out.
Yeah.
It was a very odd decision to do that. Like T-Bar and Lashley, I don't know, like, I get T-Bar wanting Lashley to be gone. Yeah. Like Retribution would want Lashley out there. But why would Lashley not just come back to the ring?
Yeah, get himself counted out.
It was odd that he would get himself counted out on purpose. It was quite strange.
Mm.
Which made us think perhaps Retribution could actually win this match.
Yeah. You're so funny.
Oh, you're so funny. We get Alexander and Mace in the ring. Mace works over Alexander. Alexander's trying to get to that hot tag. But Shelton manages to get the little surprise tag, manages to get in straight away, hits pay dirt, and Mace is gone.
Yeah.
It's just Ali versus Shelton and Alexander. It's like, okay, at this point, you're like, cool. Are they going to really give... Are you going to give Ali a big victory here? He's going to pin Shelton and Alexander. Like, he could do that. Ali could do that. Shelton's older. Shelton's not really a big deal anymore. And Alexander's still building his way up.
Yeah.
Alexander and Ali probably is what the feud should be in the long term.
Exactly.
Ali gets scared. He gets a bit spooked. Shelton works over Ali. He tags to Alexander. Alexander works over Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Ali ends up on the outside and he gets a chair and he hits Alexander with a chair.
And gets DQ'd.
And gets himself DQ'd. So the Hurt Business wins.
Again.
For the, literally out of the four matches the Retribution have been involved in, they have lost all of them so far.
Yeah.
And three of those matches have been with, well, all of them have been related to Hurt Business.
Yeah, exactly.
All of them have actually, I was going to say three of them, but all of them, that's because I was thinking about Slapjack and Lashley being slightly different, but it's still Hurt Business.
Still Hurt Business and Retribution.
Yeah. Ali runs away.
As he does.
He runs away from Shelton in the ring because Shelton's very upset that he would dare to hit Alexander with a chair. He runs up. He starts to run up the ramp, but then out come Lashley and MVP. They're making their way back down. Ali looks around. He's like, oh no.
Where am I going?
Where am I going? And then he does a little bit of parkour over the edges to get behind the Thunderdome set and disappears.
And over the screens and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they want the gold. They want the gold. That's kind of it.
Yeah. It makes me really sad.
It sucks. Yeah. Retribution is dead.
Yeah.
Like, sure, we might still end up with Ali versus Lashley, but at this point, I don't even see the point. I don't see... They've been killed. It's such a shame for Ali.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And not anymore. And the way that like Ali's running, keeps running from his problems, but then he comes back and does a promo where he looks very badass.
Yeah, we'll talk about it now. He comes back. They have a promo later in the night where essentially they brush off the loss and they just go, we don't care about losses. We can end you whenever we want, essentially, is what the promo is.
Yeah.
We don't, let me just check the notes in case there's anything else. They're not a family or a team. They're a mission. And we only win when people suffer.
Yes.
And we will decide when you will be shut down. It's like, okay, great.
And
who cares?
Where's your wins? We haven't seen your wins yet.
Yeah, so. You haven't actually proved you can do anything.
Exactly. So I won't believe anything until you actually do something.
I like the Hurt Business. I think they're a really good group. I'm not saying the Hurt Business should be losing every week.
Yeah, no.
But the Hurt Business, like, Lashley is your big dude. You keep Lashley strong.
Yes.
But you have MVP there who had loads of years of not wrestling and is kind of the manager of the group.
Yeah, exactly.
You have Shelton there who's a veteran.
Get them pinned.
And you have Alexander there who's the fresh guy to the group. There are guys there who can take pins without any issues, especially when you have like obviously, even if it's not Ali getting the pinfalls, you have T-Bar, you have Mace. They're massive guys.
Exactly. It would still look impressive. Yeah.
I find it silly, but anyway.
It's just sad.
We'll see you next week when we have another match between Retribution and the Hurt Business for the 10th time. We go backstage. We see Angel Garza for the first time on Raw. He is flirting with Mandy and Dana. Nia and Shayna turn up and he flirts with those two as well. Everyone's not really interested in him, but then Nia takes the rose from his hand, gives him a little wink. Mandy and then Garza goes away. Garza's gone off that. They all get into a little bit of an argument, all thinking that they're the best and that they should be the captain of the team.
Yeah.
That's basically it. We'll get back to it later, and we get back to the women's segment later in the night. We now have the match teased at the opening of the show. We have Drew versus Miz.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much a very easy win for Drew.
Yeah.
We had a lot of distractions from Morrison on the outside. Morrison does get a few cheap shots in onto Drew McIntyre. Miz distracts the ref at one point. And then Morrison tries to hit Drew with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but Drew reverses, tosses Morrison, gets the briefcase, absolutely throws it miles away, gets back in the ring, hits the Claymore on Miz. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Very simple stuff. Not really what I wanted for Miz.
Yeah, but it was an all right match. It wasn't anything.
Yeah, it just starts because obviously you want to build Miz up.
Exactly.
But this is what they do with everyone who has Money in the Bank. If you have Money in the Bank, you just go on a losing streak until you win the championship.
Fair.
Is basically what always happens. Yeah. So I'm not entirely surprised by this.
Yeah.
But it's a shame. Like I would want to see. I think Miz should be on the Survivor Series team. I think he should get a cheap win over someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you need to prove that, like, he is something. Yeah. And, like, him and Morrison, because, like, they're cheating. It's a two-on-one situation.
Yeah.
And he still can't win any matches. You need to prove that do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just have Morrison.
And he is good. Like, he was good before. Why isn't he good now?
I know. Well, he goes through phases, the Miz does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but let's just allow Miz to get some victories. Allow him to be in Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Have him be the leader of that team. Have him be the leader over.
That would be funny.
Because then you annoy AJ Styles.
Yes.
You get the Miz just gloating the entire time. And you get AJ Styles getting all annoyed
at
him. And then you'll have the Jordan, the big dude, just freaking out the Miz all the time.
Yes.
You'll have Keith Lee getting in the Miz's face.
Yeah.
That would be a nice little thing they could do.
Yeah.
Like there's interesting stuff there. And like Sheamus as well. Sheamus wouldn't exactly appreciate the Miz telling him what to do.
Exactly.
And like especially if Braun Strowman is the other guy on the team.
Yes.
That is like a lot of big dudes on that team,
funny,
all
yes.
surrounding the Miz.
That'd be very funny.
And yeah, I think
like
that'd be good stuff.
I'd like that.
And then maybe Miz wins it for their team at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Just to give him a bit of a push to actually be something.
Yeah.
It depends if they actually want him to be something or not.
Yeah, we'll see.
We have Matthew McConaughey in the Thunderdome. All right. But that's it. We go backstage and we see the Street Profits.
This promo was
Wait
so
a second.
Good.
It's not the Street Profits. It's the New Day.
I actually did think it was the Street Profits.
Yeah,
for a second.
I just saw the attire and I thought it was the Street Profits.
I was just very confused for a second.
They start cutting a Street Profits promo. Kofi starts, whenever Kofi's doing the promo, he just starts to drift off to fall asleep. trying to tell the Mick out of Dawkins how he does sleepy promos. Montez, obviously Xavier Woods is Montez. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to face King Corbin for the King of the Ring title because he's King Montez on Twitter and he wears the little crown thing.
Yeah.
They confirmed that they're going to have the New Day versus Street Profits. They confirm all the title matches.
Yeah.
Asuka comes out and she goes and she says the we want the smoke thing.
And she is just being Asuka, as you'd expect.
She's being great. She's being Asuka. They go through all the matches, the confirmed Survivor Series, all the champion versus champion matches, as you'd expect. Her business comes out and interrupts and just essentially says that they have their sights on the tag team titles and they look to be the new contenders for the New Day's tag team titles. I assume it would be Cedric and Benjamin. I assume would be the team, which would be nice stuff, I guess. At least another team for Raw.
Yeah.
And then Asuka.
Asuka's like, you're not going to do it. You know why?
Because
New Day rocks. She's the new Big E.
Yeah, Asuka's just Big E. This is all
which
they
actually
have.
Really worked really well.
It's nice to have Asuka doing something funny.
Yeah.
She is the Raw Women's Champion, though. She wasn't the Hell in the Cell. She's not done anything for a while, which is a shame. But
she's always so interesting. Every time she's on TV, it just makes me smile.
I love seeing Asuka, so it's fine.
I don't mind.
I just complain about the fact that she's not necessarily being used as much as she should be.
Yeah, exactly.
We get another Drew promo backstage where Drew says that he will take as many steps to taste the Edge title back. Orton will have a moment tonight, but it will not be a moment of bliss.
Oh. So now we have two people after Orton.
Yeah, we have everyone's coming after Orton tonight. Yeah. I wonder how that's going to go. We have Pat Buck and Adam Pearce on the ring to announce the Raw Women's Survivor Series team.
We're in SmackDown, according to it.
We've jumped show. Nia, Shayna, Mandy and Dana obviously are all confirmed for the team because they were all talking about it earlier. Nia wants the final member to be announced by the team captain. Obviously, Nia thinking she is the team captain. She is the self-declared team captain at the moment.
And then Shayna turns, no, I'm the team captain.
Yeah, they all bicker and then they go, no, it's going to be a four-way match tonight to determine who will be the fifth member of the team. Lana, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross has some new music, which I need to hear it more, but it sounds all right.
Yeah, it sounds fine. I miss her old music, but it's still good. It's better than most songs that are around. So
yeah, as long as she doesn't... It kind of sucks for her to be in this position, per se. She probably should have just been on the team anyway, over Mandy or Dana.
Yes.
I know, obviously, they're just trying to build something for the tag team division with this.
Still.
But Nikki is a lot better than them. Whatever. Yeah. Very much a simple match. A bit clumsy at points.
Yeah.
There was some good... I'm not saying all of it was clumsy. It wasn't a bad match.
Yeah, no.
There was some really good stuff from Peyton Royce trying to prove herself, especially now she's a singles person trying to prove herself. Nikki Cross had some good stuff. Nikki ended up on the top rope for about like 3 minutes.
Yes.
Everyone trying to get her off the top rope and her managing to get them off. But then it ended with a big, like, going for a superplex, but then Peyton Royce coming in underneath for a suplex on Lacey Evans. And then Lana comes in, pulls Lacey Evans out, pulls Peyton out of the ring, steals the pin on Nikki Cross for the victory. I think it was Nikki.
It was Nikki, which really makes me sad.
It sucked that Nikki was the one to take that pinfall, but Lana is the fifth member of the Raw team.
It just really upsets me that the women's division is just really annoying right now.
Yeah.
It just makes me so sad because, like, you have Nikki and everything, but, like, it just feels like they're going back to the noughties with the female division of, like, just, like, pretty faces and not. Yeah. Obviously, you have Shayna and Nia, but... It's just really annoying.
They're still better wrestlers than they were back then, obviously. Like, I'm not saying that.
Like, but in terms of the
there's a lot of looks that are very similar to going back in the noughties at the moment.
It's just,
very much what Vince likes.
It makes me sad.
Obviously, post-match Nia puts her through the table, because of course she will.
Yeah.
Because that's what Nia does.
Woohoo! That was like the only thing that made me happy about that match.
Randy does the same promo he did earlier in the night. He isn't afraid of the Fiend, literally doing the same thing he did earlier.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, then we get the Retribution promo we talked about earlier. And then we go to our main event match of the night. We have Matt Riddle versus Sheamus to determine the last entrant into the Survivor Series team. Very good match. The best match of the night. These two have really good chemistry. They were really beating each other up. They're really going for it. They work really well. Obviously, Sheamus's brawling style compared to Riddle's just athleticism and his MMA background, it worked really well. Just go and watch this match. Just really nice stuff. Riddle hits a top rope exploder suplex onto Sheamus, which was brutal. He then goes over to the other corner, hits a floating bro, but Sheamus manages to get his knees up, tries to go for the Irish curse backbreak, but Riddle reverses it into a sleeper, has it on Sheamus for ages.
For quite a while, yeah.
Sheamus manages to knock him off in the corner, but Riddle jumps straight back on to get on again, but Sheamus flips him over the top. Sheamus then tries to go for a bro kick, but Riddle turns around, gets into a German suplex. Riddle tries to go for a big move, but his back gives out and Sheamus manages to rebound off the ropes and hit the bro kick for the win. 1-2-3. It's a bit of a shame to see Riddle take the pin here, but I think Sheamus deserves this position.
Yeah.
Like, Sheamus obviously is in a point where he's near the end of his career and he's putting people over, but I think he deserved to be in this match. He's done a lot of good work recently. And
it's
I think it's really nice to
have him back and everything and just like...
But if you consider the fact he thought he was done.
Yeah, exactly.
He thought he was done because he has the same it's a very similar injury to what Edge has.
Yeah, I remember.
In terms of his neck and his back. His neck injury, I think it is.
Yeah.
So
and seeing his YouTube videos and stuff like his
The Celtic Warrior stuff that he does, the Celtic Warrior workouts. Yeah, it's good to see him get a big win here tonight instead of just losing. Especially after taking that loss to Kofi last week and to Big E the week before that.
So it's really nice if they do what you were talking about getting the losers of those matches to get like another chance or something. It would be nice to like see Riddle also go into the team.
I think it's either Riddle or Miz that are going to end up being that fifth man. Braun will be the fourth, and then Riddle or Miz will be the fifth. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Unless they put Drew in this position, but I don't. I don't know. I think we'll talk about Drew in a second. We'll do the main event segment. So the main event segment is the Moment of Bliss. Ooh. You hear the twisted version of Alexa's music. It sounds really so cool. I need to hear more of it. It's better. I need to see just a new entrance of her general.
Yes.
She looks really
She's
cool.
So creepy. She's so creepy.
She was like Funhouse Alexa. Looked really cool.
Funhouse dungarees with a wowie handwritten on it.
Wowie written on it. She was talking very rhythmically. Very
like lullaby. Like a nursery rhyme.
Yeah, that's nursery rhyme. Randy won't sit down. He's like, I ain't like, dealing with you.
She's like, you can sit down if you'd like, and he's like, I'd rather stay up. Yeah. Thank you.
This is very much from Randy's side. This is a very boring promo from Randy.
Yeah,
he's very much just typical Orton. It's nothing particularly exciting.
Even though he said he wasn't scared, but he's scared the whole time.
He's terrified. He's terrified. He was a liar earlier.
You.
He keeps on bringing up saying like, look. We all know what's going to happen here. Where's the Fiend? Is he going to come? Do you have a surprise for me? Alexa's like, no, I don't have a surprise for you.
I just want you here because, you know, every talk show is really good to have like a champion on the person that I'm interviewing and everything. Yeah. That's all.
Especially after you and Randy and Drew, you burned down the house.
Yes.
To which Randy goes, yeah. Burn down the house. Okay, where is he? And then before he comes out, Drew McIntyre comes out instead.
Yeah.
We're taking up on his promise he said earlier that he was going to come and get Randy Orton. Alexa goes and sits up in the top corner just laughing through all of this. It's really
so
nice.
Good.
Really good stuff from Alexa. Randy and Drew brawling in the ring. Drew completely on top of Randy.
Yeah.
Completely on top of him.
Throwing everything on.
He's about to go and hit the Claymore kick. And then doom, 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 boom, 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 dun, 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 dun. That's a British joke for you. It's the EastEnders theme.
Oh, I see.
Because it's boom, 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 boom. Anyway.
I wouldn't have known.
That's a very English joke for you. And then the Fiend appears. Randy Orton has now moved up to the top of the ramp. He's tried to run away. Drew McIntyre's still in the ring. They're staring down. You don't know where the Fiend is. Like for a second, I thought the Fiend was going to come out and attack McIntyre instead, and it was going to be a big old swerve. But eventually you see that the Fiend is just behind Randy Orton. Very, very similar to the way they did the John Cena one.
Yes.
Very similar to that.
It just made me really laugh because Orton was on the top and obviously you couldn't see the Fiend, but then you suddenly see Orton's face and he's like, oh damn.
Yeah, he looks absolutely terrified.
He's right behind me, isn't he?
Looks terrified.
And that's when they panned the camera to the Fiend.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Yeah. But Orton decides, I ain't dealing with the Fiend. He decides to go back towards the ring.
Which one is the worst?
Yeah,
which
he's like,
the better?
Which one should I deal with tonight? And he's like, I'm going to deal with Drew instead.
Yes.
So he goes back down to the ring. They continue to brawl. They go over to the table. Orton does, hits a backdrop onto Drew on the table, but the table doesn't break. Beating down on Drew on the table, but then Drew gets on top and he gets a pencil and starts pushing the pencil into Randy Orton's eye. And they just keep him brawling and the show just ends with them brawling.
Yeah. Once again.
Once again. So I feel like what we're going to end up with, so this is why I don't think Drew is going to be in the Survivor Series stuff himself, because I feel like we're going to get Drew versus Orton once again as the main event of Raw on one of these weeks leading up to Survivor Series.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And it depends what they want to do. It really does depend what they want to do. But I feel
there's
like
there's so many ways they could go right now.
Yeah. It's difficult because I think we're definitely getting that match. I don't know who the winner would be because either the Fiend can get involved, interfere, prevent Randy from winning, which kind of builds that storyline. We can have the Fiend versus Randy at Survivor Series and keep building that. And then we can come back to Drew versus Randy again if they want to swap the title once again. They can have Drew. But the thing is, they might not want Drew to lose to Roman.
Yeah.
Because whoever's going into that
explanation,
why he's lost the title here. Because there's no question to it. Whoever goes into this match against Roman Reigns is losing 1 million percent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, whoever it is.
Roman's not losing in the near future.
Not a chance. Like, even if, like, The Fiend is the one who comes out to distract Randy Orton and that's how Roman wins.
Yeah,
Drew McIntyre distracts Randy Orton, that's how Roman wins. Randy Orton distracts Drew McIntyre, that's how Roman wins.
Yeah.
Or Roman just spears the hell out
Roman
of him.
Roman just wins.
Or the Usos... Oh, that's when the Usos properly turn heel and they super kick whoever it is. Like, there's no way. There's
no
zero
way.
Chance.
Roman's losing
yeah. Survivor Series. So maybe that's why they wanted the title on Orton instead.
And that
then
makes sense.
And then at TLC they can build up to this Drew Orton final match between the two of them. Like, do a big either an Iron Man match. I know it's like, I don't really want to have another match between them, but you can have like an Iron Man match or a Three Stages of Hell match, which is where they change the stipulation every four.
Yes. Oh my God, that's cool.
So you could do like that's a one-on-one really cool. match, then a steel cage, and then a TLC because it is TLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that for the title.
And I did enjoy like seeing Orton and Drew using weapons and stuff. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
And it would be good. Because obviously the girls used all the weapons yesterday.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see them using all the weapons.
And perhaps then we go, because then if you hold, because obviously we put the seeds in for the Fiend Feud, but it doesn't necessarily have to start now.
No.
But the Fiend Feud could technically be Rumble to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And we could have Randy versus Fiend to WrestleMania.
They can keep doing just like this stuff of Firefly Funhouse, building more of like the Bliss character and what she's doing here.
Yeah, or we can just divert things slowly over to perhaps Bliss going for the championship.
That's what I was going to say.
And all this kind of stuff. Well, then we can do Fiend and Orton.
Her and Nikki again, just like going back to the friendship thing.
It depends, obviously. It also depends. It depends on Edge as well. Because obviously, if they still want to do Orton Edge at WrestleMania, I hope not. I really don't want to see it.
No.
But yeah, and then you could do like Drew versus AJ at WrestleMania or something like that. I think there's a lot of fun opportunities you could do.
Let's just
with Drew having the title and Orton not having it.
Yeah.
So I could see. But also perhaps the thing is, perhaps the way they get around this, maybe this is the reason they put the briefcase on Miz, is that at Survivor Series, whatever happens, Orton loses the Usos, or whether it's the Fiend or Drew or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Raw it happens again. Orton's so destroyed by the Fiend that allows Miz the opportunity to cash in.
Exactly.
And then McIntyre kicks his head off the TLC or the Rumble, and McIntyre's back on the path to WrestleMania with his belt.
Exactly.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I think that's... There's a lot of possibilities, and it's always
and
nice when
good
you...
ones.
Yeah, it's nice when you can think like this, and there's good opportunities coming ahead, and it's not just like, it's Randy Orton.
Okay, so this is going to happen.
We're just going to have Randy versus Edge.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the only possibility.
No.
Which excites me. And I do think they will have another match, but we have to wait and
see.
Not do I particularly. But yes, but that is all for this podcast here today. I hope you enjoyed our bit of fantasy booking at the end there.
Yes.
But we will be back on Wednesday we haven't decided which one we're going to do first, whether it's going to be AEW or Halloween Havoc.
We're going to try to do both on the same day.
Yeah, we'll try and do both of them as quickly as possible, because I really want to see both of them.
Yeah.
We'll see which one we do first, but we'll try and get them done nice and quickly. So hopefully they'll both be out on, depending where you live, either Wednesday evening or Thursday morning, they should both be out. Touch words, depending on what goes on. But yes, we will see you on Wednesday for that. I hope you enjoy, and we will see you then. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you
next time.